Let us open our Bibles to the New Testament, to the book of Acts, just as we did last night on New Year's Eve, to the book of Acts this morning, to chapter 27 and 28. Acts 27 and the first 10 verses of 28. Much of this passage is about Paul in the midst of the storm, on his way to Rome. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lasia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the south, west, and northwest. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And when we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest they should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. And the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all in the ship 66 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with the shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoised up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we had departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Thus far the reading of God's Word. The text for this New Year's Day sermon is taken from this passage that we've read together, especially chapter 28, the first 6 verses, but let me read verse 5. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Dear congregation, what will the future bring? It's a question that we might ask ourselves at the beginning of this year, 2013. What will happen this year? And maybe you've been making some plans for this coming year. Maybe young people, you've been making plans for your studies and schooling. Or for others, maybe you've been making plans for your work, or maybe places that you would like to go to and visit and things you might want to do this year. Of course, all of this can change so quickly. We can get sick. We might get struck down with a disease. And we might even die, unable to carry out the things that we may have planned to do. And when we hear about this possibility of sickness and disease, maybe we say, but I don't really want to get sick. I would like to stay healthy for some time yet. And of course, then we do need a good immune system. And there are people who can tell us how to strengthen that immune system so that we won't get a certain sickness. But do you know that there are people who are immune? Really immune. And that's what our text speaks about, the immunity of a child of God. That's our theme, the immunity of a child of God. And we'll see two things. First of all, it's tested. Secondly, it's shown. The immunity of a child of God. It's tested and it's shown. When we come to this page of Scripture, dear congregation, we meet a man in danger. He's on his way from Caesarea to Rome. After all, that's where the Lord wants the gospel also to come, through the mouth of Paul, as he's a prisoner on this journey. The Jews have seen to it that he has been arrested and that he has tried, but no guilt has been found, and yet the governors, Felix and Festus, before whom he has stood, they have not declared his innocence. Felix and Festus have seemed to be afraid to do that because they want to do the Jews a favor. And in fact, Festus is actually wanting to hand Paul back over to the Jews. But Paul knows that they seek his life. And he says, if Festus will not do what is right for a citizen, a Roman citizen in the name of Caesar, then I appeal to Caesar. And that appeal is accepted. Finally, the time comes. That's where we begin, Acts 27. Finally, the time comes that he begins his long journey to Rome. A few stops are made on the way, and finally they begin what is supposed to be the last leg of the journey. But it's not the best time of the year to journey by ship. It's the late fall, maybe it's November. Of course, it was fair weather when they left, but it did not stay fair weather. It did not stay calm. No, their ship is caught in a bad storm, facing a strong wind, a nor'easter. Those winds that can bring such damage with their tropical storm-like winds. And that's how Paul finds himself in peril at the sea, of which he would write in 2 Corinthians 11. And the storm lasts 14 days. But God protects Paul, and he protects the others on the ship so that all of them survive and all of them escape, and they reach the shore, some by swimming, others by clinging to boards, but all of them reach the island called Melita or Malta. And after all, the Lord had come to Paul in the storm, the Lord had told him in the storm that he would be brought before Caesar and that all of them with him in the ship would survive. And that's how 276, to be exact, 276 people reached the island. Paul too. God had said that it would happen, and his counsel will stand. And that tells us, doesn't it, the way through the storm. Now also the storm that you may face this year. The way to face the storm is by clinging to his word of promise. Of course, Satan would have wanted Paul to have drowned in the Mediterranean Sea. Satan would have wanted him to have been put to death by the Jews that hated him so much. But Satan did not get his wish. Instead, Paul may now be safe on the shore, on this island. But now what? How will these shipwrecked people be received? Will these people, these natives of the island of Malta, will they see what riches they can get from these shipwrecked people? And will they see what plunder and what booty they can get from their ship? Will these natives meet these shipwrecked people with enmity? For then the lives of these shipwrecked people will not be safe. No, They were very kind, verse 2. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. When that word kindness is used, it's the same word used in Titus 3 verse 4, where Paul explains, if I can put it simply, where Paul explains Christmas. And then Paul says this, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Literally, philanthropy. Philanthropy, rather. And yeah, the world has its philanthropists, doesn't it? Bill Gates, for instance, is one of those billionaires who gives billions to charity, and he's called the philanthropist. But islanders, natives on islands, they don't do that. Islanders don't like tourists. Islanders don't like visitors unless they can have their money. But these islanders, they open their hearts to them. And no small kindness indeed, they kindle a large fire to give these shipwrecked people warmth. After all, they were wet and cold, and it was raining and cold, and these people are tired, and they're in danger of contracting hypothermia or pneumonia. They need warmth, and they need to dry themselves, and these heathen people from the island of Malta are ready to show kindness to them. Remarkable. And they've never heard the gospel before. But they could not refrain from showing kindness and seeking the good of these stranded people. Now, if that is what the heathen do, if that's what the heathen who are ignorant of the gospel do, and still there are so many non-Christians who show such kindness, if that's what the heathen do, what does the Lord expect from His people? From the people who know the gospel? What does He expect from you and me? Especially those of you who have tasted of the love of God, but that you would show no little kindness to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. And what opportunities will there be this year? To show no little kindness to those maybe with physical needs, or those who are in the midst of the storm, maybe spiritually, those who have been in the storms of life and who are exhausted and who are weary, opportunities to stretch out your hands to them and to seek their good, showing no little kindness. How these people got the fire started in the rain, I don't know, but Paul also stretched out his hands to help. In the storm, he had been a man who had folded his hands. He was a man of prayer, but it was not strange for him to stretch out his hands to work too. After all, we must pray and work. He gathers some sticks, but while he's gathering a bundle of sticks, suddenly he appears to be in great danger again, a viper. A venomous snake bites and fastens itself unto his hand. That animal was hidden in between those sticks, and maybe the animal was not aware of its plight, about to be thrown onto the fire. But when Paul cast the sticks onto the fire, suddenly the viper is awakened, and seeing his danger, impulsively grasps the hand of Paul. Again, Paul's life is in danger. His life is in constant danger. He had just been in the midst of a terrible storm, but was spared. But then it doesn't take all that long that his life is in danger again, as he will write in 2 Corinthians 11, in perils of waters, in peril of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in weariness and painfulness, in hunger and thirst, in cold and nakedness. The danger was never far away. And for you and me, how many dangers will there be this year? Dangers here, dangers there. Dangers at home, dangers at work. temptations, trials, afflictions. The safety of God's people will be tested in this year. Just as in the year we will see if we are immune to certain diseases, so the child of God is tested. So the Lord Jesus had said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. There are dangers all around. That we do well to pray, Lord, keep me, else I'll fall. Preserve me. There are dangers all around. You know that too, don't you? Words of the hymn writer. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far. But there are times, aren't there, when you think, now how will I make it through this? And that's how it seems here. Paul, he cannot survive this, can he? But that's our second point. The immunity is shown. Paul, no, he cannot survive this, can he? For whosoever is poisoned by a viper is close to death, isn't he? It will not take long, and the people of Malta have seen it happen. And they draw their own conclusion, verse 4. No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. That's the only conclusion they can come to. That this man must be a terrible criminal. He must be a murderer. He's been able to escape the storm at sea. He's been able to escape the shipwreck. But vengeance, literally, decay, this God of vengeance, that's the name they have given it, the God of wrath, of divine justice, he will take vengeance on Paul now that there is venom in his body, the venom of the viper. Yet the heathens in their superstitions can come to no other conclusion. No, they do not know the true God and they do not have the word of God. But they do have the law of God written upon their consciences, and they believe that wickedness shall be punished. They believe, though they don't know the words of Numbers 23, they believe that your sins will find you out, that man cannot go on escaping his judgment forever, the punishment of his sin forever. There's a day of reckoning coming. These natives have some knowledge of the justice of God. No, they do not know everything. They do not know the name of the true God. And they do not know the way to escape the judgment of God, for there is a way. And it is not always true that people who have to go a hard way, that they must be great sinners. And there are times when people have to go a hard way, as the Lord Jesus will say in John 9, for the glory of God. The Lord has a purpose with the afflictions that His peoples go through. And what then? Should we then be afraid? Paul is not. You could well imagine, boys and girls, a viper having grasped your hand. You can well imagine that panic would set in. The natural reaction would be panic, hysteria, a snake is on your hand. And you could understand there would be screams and there would be screeches. But not Paul. He stands there calmly, and after the viper has hung on his hand for a little while, he shakes it off as if it's only a worm. A worm that can do him no harm. Why does he not panic? Why is he so calm? For at least two reasons. For one thing, he is the Lord's. He is the Lord's. He's the child of the Lord. That's what he has confessed on the ship when he says in chapter 27, there appeared an angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, and that has not changed. You see, he belonged to the Lord. The Lord had his eyes on Paul. The Lord would care for Paul. And if the Lord willed it, Paul would not be harmed. Not by the stripes he has faced, not by the storm, not by the robbers, not by shipwreck, and not by a snake, because he belonged to the Lord. And then you don't need to be afraid. And secondly, he's not only a child of the Lord, but he has the word of the Lord. He has the word of the Lord, that word that he heard in Acts 27, that he must be brought before Caesar. He must be brought to Rome. And even if there is a storm that will cause a shipwreck, he must still get there. And even if there is a snake, and even if everything is against him and everyone is against him, he will get there. For God's counsel shall stand. He will do all his pleasure. But I'm actually thinking of another word from the Lord. I mean, that word that the Lord gave to the first generation of apostles. The words of Mark 16, verse 17 and 18, where the Lord promises special protection even in the face of serpents. He says this, they shall take up serpents, and it shall not hurt them. Or in the words of Luke 10, verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And Paul can trust the care and the protection of the Lord. After all, he is faithful that promised. And then Paul does not need to panic. Paul does not need to be filled with hysteria. He can be calm. As the Lord says in Isaiah 30, verse 15, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. The enemy cannot hurt you. Paul is immune even to the poison of the viper. It cannot harm him. And that must have been a shock to these inhabitants of the island of Malta. They were waiting for the swelling to take place, and they were waiting for him to fall down dead, but nothing happened. And then they changed their minds, and in their superstition, they begin to call him a god. And do you see how busy Satan is? The one moment he's trying to make them think he's a murderer, so that if Paul does bring the word here of the Lord on the island of Malta, then these people will be prejudiced against him because after all he's a murderer. You don't listen to a murderer. And when that does not succeed, the next moment Satan tries to make them think that he's a god so that maybe it will get to Paul's head. Pride will set in and they'll fall down and worship him and there will be no room for the gospel. But Satan, his purposes shall not stand. The gospel makes inroads on the island. For Paul comes in contact with the chief of the island, Publius, and lodged there 3 days. Could Paul stay silent about the true God and the only way of salvation? And when Publius's father is sick, and Paul comes, prays, asking in Jesus' name. And then he also has to explain about the Lord Jesus. You see, this is one of the reasons why there was that shipwreck. Yes, he will end up in Rome, but before he comes to Rome, he must be in Malta. And even if the captain of the ship did not want to land there, the Lord steers them there through 14 days of storm. He brings detours about because he has a purpose also with those detours in your life and in mine. His kingdom must come. The church must be gathered, and they must also be gathered from the islands, as Isaiah 41 verse 5 says. The isles saw it and feared. And a chapter later in Isaiah 42 verse 4, and the isles shall wait for his law. so that there is the singing of a new song on these islands. A few verses later in Isaiah 42, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down into the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. And now when the Lord lets the islands hear of the Lord Jesus, and when the Lord lets you into the hospital with a disease, and you're next to someone else on a hospital bed, and there's a detour in your life, but is it so that they may now hear about the Lord Jesus? And you end up in a place where you had not expected, but the name of the Lord Jesus is spread. And then, of course, you don't boast about what you said and about what you've done, but in the Lord. The Lord. Remember who Luke tells us about in the first chapter of Acts? The Lord who not only began, but who continues now that He is at the right hand of the Father, who continues to work for His glory and for the good of His church. Paul's immune. Immunity. It's indeed a word that we use to say that a person will not get a certain sickness. Maybe, boys and girls, you've had the chicken pox when you were younger. And having the chicken pox when you're younger means that you're protected from getting it again. You're immune to it even if you are in a room full of children who have the chicken pox. To be immune means you're protected from danger. And it's good to have a good immune system. And some people who suffer from cancer and who have a very low blood count are open to many sicknesses and diseases. But the God of Paul saw to it that Paul was immune to the poison of a viper. And that's how it is for all of God's children. They cannot be harmed as long as their task is not finished. As long as God has work for them to do. No, that does not mean that they never meet with danger. That they never meet with danger in tribulation. No, they are not immune to trouble. They're not immune to tribulation. But they are immune in the trouble. I do not say that they always realize it, but it's true. They cannot really be hurt by the difficulties they meet with. In the words of Psalm 91, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Thou shalt not be afraid by the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Or in the words of Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? And in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And does not one of the Psalms say that many are the afflictions of the righteous? True, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Does that not give encouragement for the uncertain future? For the sudden accidents that you may have this year? And even if there are hardships, and even when there is the enmity of Satan, but the Christian can say, I am not my own. I belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who, as Lord's Day 1 says, among other things, and without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Not a thing will hurt me as long as He wills it, as long as I still have a task to do. And what if my task is over? If my task is over, then the Lord will bring me home. And sometimes He gives His people a sick bed. And that sick bed becomes their deathbed, whereby He takes His child home. Or sometimes by way of an accident, or maybe even by a snake bite, or by a shipwreck, or by a plane crash, or some other way, sometimes in a very sad way, but then death cannot hurt His children. Death is then a door into eternal life. And Paul knows that if that day comes, it will be gain. For then we shall see Him face to face. And because Paul knows that, he can write in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Gives reason to trust Him, dear child of God, doesn't it? Gives reason to resort back to Him with all your questions and with all your troubles, for He sends everything. And He can also give grace and confidence in Him even when the way is hard. A pastor, someone says, "But now, what's the secret? The secret to this protection lies in the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, the one who felt the bite of the snake, of the serpent, the devil bit Him in the heel. And He took the poison so that Paul could be immune to the poison. So that Paul, whom the inhabitants thought was a murderer, and they didn't realize that they were right. Paul was a murderer. He had persecuted and murdered Christians. He was a murderer. But he was a forgiven murderer. He is one who had obtained mercy. No wonder he faced so many attacks by the devil, because he had been snatched as a brand out of the fire. He had been snatched out of the grip of the devil, you see. And the devil has to go into the fire, the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. And you who up till now belong to the devil, shall you consider that? Where you're going, the same place as the devil. You are not your own either. You are of your father, the devil. You have poison in your soul, the poison of sin, and you don't have this immunity that Paul has. You only have this poison. You're gripped by the serpent. He not only has your hand, He has your heart. And that's why you go on in the way of sin. And that's why you remain unconverted. And that's why you remain in bondage to Satan. And that's why you don't repent with those who repented on the island of Malta. But don't you realize that Satan wants you to go into the fire with you, with him? Where the Lord Jesus said, "Where the worm dieth not, where the gnawing voice of your conscience will accuse you and convict you forever and ever." What do you have if you don't have the Lord Jesus? You don't have a protector. You don't have safety. Your head, your life hangs by a thread, and it can be clipped off any moment. And who wants to go to eternity that way? Who wants to go through life with all the toils and dangers without a protector? When you may seek Him today. One more word for the young people. Young people, another year lies before you. Young people, you often think when you're young that you're invincible. You can't get hurt. Young people, you're only safe if you belong to the Lord Jesus. And if you belong to the Lord Jesus, then nothing can hurt you. Well, then you're not careless. Paul was not careless. But then nothing can hurt you. And even when you are careful and you get into that accident, and it's a bad accident, or you get sick and you have that disease, but if you belong to the Lord Jesus, you're safe for time and eternity. Seek the protection, young people, that the Lord Jesus brings. And what if someone says, but Pastor, also in my youth there are many temptations of the devil. Yes, they are there. And the serpent, he tries to lay hold of your hand, doesn't he, young people? And he tries to tempt you to sin. He tries to take it into the fire. But then go to Golgotha. There, another fire was set up. The fire of God's wrath. And shake the serpent of temptation off there at Golgotha in the blood of the Lord Jesus, where you can go for washing and for renewing. There you can go with the temptations that you meet within your youth, young people. And with all your shortcomings, by the cross of Jesus, it's safe. It's safe indeed. And He will bring His people safely home. All of them. Though they have to walk through troubles. Yes, Lord, though I walk mid troubles sore, Thou wilt restore and Thou wilt finish perfectly what Thou for me hast undertaken. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. O most good doing and gracious Lord, the wonder working God Thou art, who gives immunity to Thy people. In the midst of this world and all the assaults of the devil, O Lord, we pray Thee that Thou wouldst grant a perspective to Thy children, that they're safe in Jesus. Pray Thee that Thou wouldst grant also to young people, and boys and girls, that they may seek the protection that only Thou canst give. And that they may go with those snake bites and those temptations to sin to the fire of Golgotha and to the cross of Jesus, where Thou dost show Thy power over Satan. Lord, remember us. Thou knowest what lies before us. Grant us that we may go taking step by step, following the Lord Jesus and looking unto Him till the race is over. And Thou dost say, come, enter ye to the joy of Thy Lord. For who of us will that be this year? Lord, we pray that it may not be. Depart from me. Ye cursed, grant that we may seek our salvation, the cross of Jesus. There it's safe. Also for boys and girls who have sinful hearts, we ask it. The pardon of our sins, thanking Thee for giving Thy servant a voice, commending the couple that will be married this Saturday to Thee again. And hedge us about with Thy love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.